All right. How's it going? This is Gabe. Just here chilling, wondering what the fuck's going on at Warner Brothers. I saw some random YouTube video that popped up talking about how The Rock ruined everything. Just start talking about this shit. I kind of wanted to talk about it. That's why I'm jumping into this right now. Fuck it. But yeah, no, I saw a video today of The Rock talking about some guy talking about how The Rock was originally supposed to be, well, the villain on the first Shazam movie, but he didn't want that, and he wanted Black Adam to be more of a good guy. He wanted him to be more of a hero, so that fucked everything up. Remember when the cast of the Fast and the Furious weren't happy with him? What the fuck's wrong with this guy? He just brings bad vibes to every set, I guess, every project. But whatever. But hey, anyway, yeah, again, this is Gabe. Just here chilling. Been playing Diablo 4 and having my regrets about that. Don't play Diablo 4, whatever you do. And don't play Destiny 2 either. Just video game developers don't give a shit about you. Don't give them your money. Or at least the big ones, at least. Bungie is now a big developer since they got bought out by Sony. But yeah, I heard some interesting news about the Marvels. Because, you know, Captain Marvel's not getting a part 2. She's instead just getting thrown in with two other characters, and it's going to be called the Marvels. Well, the director, Nia DaCosta, said she had something. I mean, I was like, okay, well, how different is this from the other fucking Marvel movies? But she said that the film is going to be wacky and silly. She says it's going to be, she said, the biggest difference from the other MCU movies to date is that it's really wacky and silly. She obviously hasn't seen fucking Thor Ragnarok, right? Or any of the Guardians of the Galaxies. Those are pretty fucking wacky and silly. But she goes on to say, the worlds we go to in this movie are worlds unlike others you've seen in the MCU. Bright worlds that you haven't seen before. I mean, I feel like we've seen bright worlds. In all the fucking movies since Iron Man 1, we've seen a lot of shit. We've seen a lot of bright worlds. And because of Guardians of the Galaxy 1, everything just turned into a fucking wacky, silly time. I don't know what the fuck this chick's talking about. But wait, is it a chick? Shit, hold on. It just sounds like a female name. Yeah, it's a woman. All right. I can get canceled another day for something else, right? but yeah, this is pretty fucking stupid. I mean, I feel every fucking Marvel movie's been that. I don't know what the fuck the difference is going to be. I mean, I still find it hard to believe that they're still making these fucking hero movies. I mean, they've been going down so bad, man. But then again, I mean, I guess they were already in production. Especially since Disney made a big-ass promise to a bunch of people in a Comic-Con some years ago that all these movies are going to be coming out. Get ready. And everybody fucking cheered. I bet those same people that cheered are just fucking tired of it now. But whatever. But yeah, that's the Marvels. Big whatever, man. Big whatever. And of course, you know what? I'm just going to keep talking about comic book movies. So remember the Snyder Cut? For the longest time, all the people that hated the Justice League wanted the Snyder Cuts. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I really liked Josh Whedon's version of the Justice League. Yeah, it was fucking wacky and silly, but it wasn't bad. And I will say, I did like the Snyder Cut more. Those 4 fucking hours. Did it really need to be 4 hours, man? But I liked it. I know there's a black and white version. I don't know why it exists. I know people have seen it and they love it. Like one of my friends, he's seen it and he said it's fucking amazing. I don't know why, but whatever. But yeah, the Snyder Cut. So what's another movie from DC or the dead DC extended universe? What's another movie that people hated from it, that they despised? Suicide Squad. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I saw the Suicide Squad when it came to digital, but I saw the extended cut I did not see the theatrical version. I still haven't seen the theatrical version. From what I hear, it's night and day. People I know who have seen the both say that, yeah, the extended one's better. I guess I can watch the extended cut someday. I mean, I still have it because I got both versions. But yeah, it turns out there's people now who are saying release the Ayer cut. You know, it was directed by David Ayer. And David Ayer said before that he's not happy with the product that came out. You know, the studio stepped in, they cut a bunch of shit. He didn't like it. So the Ayer cut exists. So, of course, we all know James Gunn took over. So what did James Gunn have to say? James Gunn told David Ayer that the Ayer cut would have its time to be shared. We can't trust James Gunn for shit right now. This fucking dude came into DC and made all these fucking announcements. He says, we're going to have all this shit. We're going to have movies, TV shows. Now he's talking about how he wants a Wonder Woman in animation. He thinks Wonder Woman should be in animation because Wonder Woman hasn't been in much animated stuff. But he also said that he also told Gal Gadot, like, hey, don't worry, man. You're covered. We're going to be making a third Wonder Woman with you. And then it turns out it's not even official. Who knows when the fuck that's, or what the fuck's going to happen. But there's an article from Bounty Into Comics. It says Gal Gadot reaffirms James Gunn and Peter Safran plan to develop third Wonder Woman film with her. Movie was not announced as part of Gunn's DCU slate. So I know in the last episode I was talking about this, how Gal Gadot was saying, yeah, we're going to make a third movie. And they called me into a meeting and all this bullshit, right? Well, Gunn never announced anything, but apparently Gunn said some bullshit about what he announced was not the entire chapter, only part of the chapter. So this first wave of bullshit coming out is only going to be the first wave. I guess, you know, like how Marvel had their phases. This what he's announced is only part of phase one. Apparently there's still more, which is ridiculous. There shouldn't be any more. They should have just asked them for their money back and told them, dude, we just quit making this shit. Sorry. But some other news came out too about the world of DC in this new cinematic universe. What's it going to be like? Is everything going to be fucking reboots? Are we going to have to see everyone's origins again? Because how many times that we see fucking Spider-Man's origins? This shit's too fucking old. Of course, if they were to make another Spider-Man series without Tom Holland, I know you would not want to see an origin. But of course, that would have to be on Marvel or Sony's side, right? Do they want to make another origin or just keep it up and just replace Tom Holland with somebody else? Because everybody's fucking tired of origins. So, in DC, someone asked James Gunn, like, hey, so what the fuck's going to happen? In the world of this new DC cinematic universe, because again, we don't want to see another Superman origin. We don't want to see all these fucking origin stories. We've seen all the stuff with Marvel. We've seen all the origin stories with Marvel, which were repeated with, like, the Spider-Man, you know, Marvel Spider-Man, which was Sam Raimi, then the Andrew Garfield. Well, I should have said Tobey Maguire, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. And then with Tom Holland. So I'm guessing James Gunn learned a bit from Marvel's side that people just get tired of seeing the same fucking origin shit again. But James Gunn said, we're entering a world where superheroes exist and have existed for quite a while. They're part of one side of Superman's world, just like Lois and Jimmy are a part of another. You know, that's cool. Just throw us right in the middle of it. It's fucking cool. I'm happy with that. Though, I still don't want to fucking see these movies. There's just way too fucking many of them. But back to the Suicide Squad. David Ayer released some new picture, I guess like never before seen picture of Jared Leto as the Joker. And apparently Twitter lost their fucking mind. And this is what sparked the whole, or it revived the whole, give us the Ayer cut. Will I watch the Ayer cut if it comes out? Fuck yeah. I love the Suicide Squad. And Will Smith was the best part of it. So I'll gladly watch that movie again just to see if there's any more cool stuff with Will Smith. So, now, hey, I just hope James Gunn actually does something and is not just feeding David Ayer bullshit, just like James Gunn's feeding everybody bullshit. So I hope, hey, fuck it. I hope we get the Suicide Squad, the Ayer cut. That'd be really fucking cool. And don't make it in black and white, you know, because that was fucking stupid. But yeah, you know what? Speaking of shit that's been put away, trashed, apparently Disney canned a completed 10-episode Alien vs. Predator anime series when they acquired Fox. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? You know, because in the world of comic books, people really didn't love the Alien vs. Predator comics. I thought they were pretty fucking cool. I love the actual Alien series and the comics. Those are really fucking cool. But Alien vs. Predator, I mean, I wasn't a big fan, but I loved the idea. I thought it was cool. So when the movie came out, it was already a bad idea that the first Alien vs. Predator was PG-13, which is a bad move. But the movie had its moments. I mean, I thought it was cool in some areas, like the actual fight where the predators are running around killing the people, and you just see a xenomorph come out from this hole, and it just kills one of the predators. Like, that was one of the coolest parts of the movie. Just lifts them up, brings it up face to face. But I think the introduction of the xenomorph was epic, how it just comes out of the darkness and you see its head. That was cool. Because I was rooting for the xenomorphs. I remember when Alien vs. Predator was coming out, there was a website, the actual website to Alien vs. Predator, and it had a little voting system. Like, who will win, aliens or the predators? I fucking voted for xenomorphs, man. Like, yeah, the predators are cool, but the xenomorphs are a lot cooler. They're insane. They're literally just ants, and they're fucking crazy. I love them. So, yeah, it had some cool moments, cool scenes. One of my favorite scenes is when the xenomorph, which they gave him a name. I think it was like Grid. He had like a name when they made the toy series. It's the one who gets the net thrown at him, the predator net, and it cuts into his head and it leaves this grid pattern on the head. When that xenomorph kills that predator, it's one of the coolest images in alien history, where the predator is dead on a pile of bones, like human bones and skulls, you know, all that shit. There's light shining down from a hole right onto that area, and the xenomorph is just perched on top of the predator's corpse, roaring just up into the hole, and it just cuts up to the next scene. It was so cool, dude. I love that scene. That's the only reason why I tolerate that movie. Also, I thought the whole partnering at the end with, I forgot her name, but she was the main character. She's the one who partnered up with the Predator to kill the Queen. I really liked her. I liked the whole partnership, fighting the Queen at the end. The Predator comes out and does this cool little spin attack and just shoves its spear into the Queen's face. Ah, oh, good memories, man. I might say the movie's whatever, but you know what? I think I really like it. I really like it. It just sucks it's not rated R. It should have been rated R. Should have been blood everywhere. Just skinned bodies hanging from the ceiling and xenomorphs, baby xenomorphs busting out through people's chests and blood everywhere. That would have been cool. But now we didn't get that. But a completed 10-episode Alien vs. Predator anime just thrown to the trash by Disney. Why does Disney do this? What? Man, fuck Disney. You know what? I'm surprised they did not throw Underwater into the trash. I believe Underwater was... I think Underwater was released when Disney acquired Fox. So, wait, hold on. Let me check. I need to check up on that. Okay. So, Disney acquired Fox in March 2019. Underwater came out January 2020. So, yeah, it was released by Disney. So, Underwater was shelved for a long time. I think it was like 3 years or so, just like Sound of Freedom, where it was just shelved. It was completed, just put on the shelf. I think it's like 2-3 years. They didn't want to release it. And Disney acquires Fox. They released the film in January 2020, which is bad. Releasing films, even video games, in January is like a death sentence. It's like putting a new TV show to air on Friday nights. You just don't do that. Records have shown that that's when, well, that those are the biggest times that they fail. So Underwater was released 2020. I'm fucking surprised they did. Of course we know why they didn't release Sound of Freedom. It's nothing but a bunch of fucking pedophiles at Disney. Alien vs. Predator anime just thrown into the trash. I mean, fuck Disney. But I'm surprised they released Underwater. And you know what? I'm glad they did. And it was a good movie. It's a good horror film. And I was expecting something like Leviathan, but then it turned into something else that John and I were talking about for a while. And yeah, overall, Underwater is a great movie. If you have not seen Underwater, check it out. I'm afraid I can't say anything more because it will be spoilers. It's one of those movies where if you've heard anyone like me right now telling you Underwater is a good horror movie, check it out. Don't go and look up reviews. Don't go and look up trailers. Just watch it. It's like Dusk Till Dawn. It's best if you know nothing about the plot and just watch it. And that's what I recommend you do with Underwater. It was excellent, man. That's all I gotta say about Underwater. But this Alien anime, Alien vs. Predator anime, doesn't need any more tweaking. It's already done. He said it's done, it's in the can, it's mixed, it's finished. It was produced and storycrafted by Eric Calderon and Dave Baker. Two unbelievably crazy, talented guys. Dave Bixler was head of the Home Entertainment at the time, from a creative perspective, and he championed this for me. That's insane, right? This thing's fucking done. I mean, Disney's losing fucking money like crazy right now. They can just put this up on Disney Plus, something, make their money back. I mean, you know for sure, if they put this up on Disney Plus, people would subscribe, or even Hulu. Put it on Hulu, they'd get subscribers just to watch this. I know I would. I'd fucking subscribe for 1 month just to watch this shit, just to binge it. Oh, wow. So I'm reading this off of Bounding Into Comics, and the one scene I was just talking about from Alien vs. Predator, where the Xenomorph is on top of the Predator corpse, roaring with the light shining down, there's actually that screenshot on this article. That's cool. I'm telling you, it's such a good screenshot, man. It's beautiful. So they didn't want to release it because of the timeline of Alien Covenant. So there's Prometheus, and when he pitched the idea for this anime, Alien Covenant wasn't out yet. That sucks. Wow. On May 21st, 2023, he tweeted, "It was completed almost 7 years ago, and unfortunately, I don't know why they didn't release." That sucks, man. I knowing this pisses me. Fuck the David Ayer cut. Release the fucking Alien vs. Predator cut. That's sad. That's really sad, man. Because, you know, there's people out there that love this shit. There's a lot of fan art. Fuck. Like, I remember when Alien vs. Predator came out, we had a lot of people at the theater for that. I was excited. Shit, I was excited for the movie when I saw the trailers. Even though I knew it was going to be PG-13, I was still excited to see these two iconic monsters go at it. And yeah, it was really depressing news, man. That sucks. That's really fucking sad. So, but anyway, time to get off of the news. So I want to talk to you about some movies I saw recently. So, what did I see recently? I was on Netflix. Not Netflix. Fuck my time. I haven't had Netflix in a while. I know we do have Netflix. I just don't fucking use it. Oh, I think the last time I did was for Hellhole, but that was like months ago. But I saw two movies recently. One was Beyond White Space, and the other was Outlander. I thought both were going to be shitty bargain bin Walmart type movies. But turns out one of them is, but the other one ain't. Let's talk a little bit about Beyond White Space. So what's white space or beyond white space? To put it simply, it's about some space fishermen or something like that who get their haul stolen by space pirates and decide to go and try to take out a giant space dragon named Tianlong. I have no other way of describing it than he's just a giant space dragon, which is one of many other space dragons. Why is it called white space? Because apparently there's part of the universe or galaxy, there's just a place called white space where people are cured of whatever, like sins, sickness, and it's guarded by this giant space dragon, Tianlong. And it's also believed that these space dragons can open white holes. Because if black holes exist, then there must be white holes. I bet that's how the story was born, right? Someone was like, dude, black holes are so fucking cool. There's got to be white holes. Because, you know, yin yang and all that shit, blah, blah. So it has Richard Bentley, played by Holt McCallany? I forgot his name. Holt McCallany, the guy who came out on Blue Bloods, and he's a guy on Fight Club where Tyler Durden's like, gentlemen, what do you wish to have done before you die? And he's like, build a house. That guy. The guy who starts off the whole, his name is Robert Paulson. That guy. So he's the main character. He's a captain of the ship. But he leads a crew of space fishermen who hunt down space creatures to sell for food. And among the crew is his little brother, Owen Bentley. He's played by Jim Devoti, some shit like that. And, well, they catch their biggest haul, and they celebrate. They're like, dude, it is the biggest haul we've ever caught. We're going to make a lot of money. But, well, that party got crashed real fucking quick because we have space pirates. So the space pirates force them to stop in the middle of nowhere out in space, and they board. This is one thing. If they knew space pirates were a fucking thing, why didn't they have weapons? Like, if you know space pirates are a thing, why wouldn't you have weapons on your ship or even inside? It's fucking stupid. But yeah, you know, the guys come in, they steal everything. They steal their big haul. They steal all their food, but leave them scraps. So the crew's all, they're defeated. They're like, fuck, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. And we got very little food because they left them like two bags of scraps. It's like, well, yeah, dude, this ain't even going to fucking last us. We're going to starve. But they're like, hey, we're space fishermen. We can catch all the shit we've been catching. And there you go. That solves our food problems. But what about their money problems? Well, the captain, Mr. Build a House from Fight Club, he's like, let's go for Tianlong. And everybody's like, whoa, you mean that giant fucking space dragon that might or might not exist? He's like, I know a guy who will pay a lot for it. Imagine having a never-ending party hour or your own ship, permanent vacation. And everybody's like, you know what, fuck it, dude, let's go. We got nothing to lose. So it really just goes into some bullshit where they go looking for this thing. The space pirates come back because they find a beacon that Build a House put on there. Build a House. You put a beacon on the fucking cargo, on the hull. Space pirates found it, and they're not happy. They come back. They get their asses beaten by fucking Tianlong. I want to say Shenlong, like Ken Ryu's master, but no. But, well, some other problems happen. They find some fucking space dragon snot or some shit. Looks like fucking semen that just fucking hits their fucking window. And they're like, fuck, that's worth a lot of money. Let's go. And they start sucking up all that shit into their little space vacuum on their shit, on their fucking suits. Well, turns out that had space parasites. It crawls into one dude's fucking hand. It gets inside him and makes him go fucking crazy. So now it turns into like Prometheus, where that little cobra thing got inside that one punk rock dude. And he went fucking crazy, turned into a zombie. Well, that shit fucking happens here, so there's like a threat right there. Then out of fucking nowhere, a giant space crab, one of those parasites that comes, gets all huge and mutated, I guess. I don't know how the fuck it got there. I was confused. But that thing's running around the ship now. So, space pirates, space dragons, space parasites, now some crazy dude running around on board. This shit is... it reminded me of something. And I would only say that for the Parasite. Everything else is, you know, whatever. But the Parasite thing and the guy getting crazy, and I wouldn't want to say the thing, but this kind of leads to the thing. It reminded me of Leviathan from 1989 with Peter Weller. And Leviathan is like an underwater version of The Thing. But aside from The Thing monster, Beyond White Space kind of turned into that. Or maybe even Sunshine, where the crazy dude's still on board and running around all crazy and shit. Or maybe even one of the cannibals on Pandorum. So, whatever. I like sci-fi, and I love checking out low-budget sci-fi. They can be entertaining, but this here, it just felt whatever to me. It was lacking. Like, I don't mind predictable movies, but this was very predictable. The acting was better than I thought. The best acting came from Holt McCallany. Shit, I don't even know how to say that fucking dude's name. McCallany, some shit like that. Build a House. There we go, that guy. And the old man, Mike Genovese, some shit like that. I never heard of this actor. But, you know what, if the best acting's coming from them, that still ain't saying much. The story's generic. I'm probably going to write a note to myself telling me not to watch it in case I forget it, which I probably will. It's most definitely a movie I would not watch again, but at the same time, I don't want to say it completely sucks. It was somewhat entertaining. The special effects were actually pretty good. They weren't bad. I expected like made-for-TV special effects type shit, but no, the special effects were actually pretty good. But hey, it's on Amazon Prime. I didn't pay to see it, unless you're one of those assholes like, well, you did pay $120 for Amazon Prime, so you technically did pay to see it. And shut the fuck up. But I wouldn't recommend anyone to buy it or rent it, but hey, if you got Amazon Prime, check it out. Beyond White Space. So, whatever. But let's move on to the other movie I did see. And that's Outlander, starring Jim Caviezel, Sophia Miles, and John Hurt. So, this was a big surprise for me. I never heard of the film, ever. I thought it was going to be a straight-to-DVD, like Walmart garbage bin movie, but it actually got a theatrical release. And that was like 1 year after I left the movie theaters, which is 2008. I left 2007. So it explains how it snuck by. But sadly, even though it did get a theatrical release, it was a bomb. The movie had a budget of $47 million, and it was only able to make $7 million. Jeez, dude, that sucks. That's a bomb right there. But yeah, so Outlander, what's it about? To put it in simple terms, to explain it very simply, it's about a spaceman whose ship is attacked from within by a creature that snuck on board, and they were just happening to be passing by Earth, so they crash land on Earth. But they crash land on Earth during the Viking Age. So, with all the passengers dead, minus Kynan, that's our hero for the movie, played by Jim Caviezel, it's up to him to take out the creature responsible for the slaughter of his crew with the help of Vikings. Sounds kind of, I wouldn't say sounds familiar, but it sounds kind of awfully close to something, doesn't it? So, I know I said, you know him and he's got to team up with some Vikings, right? But he doesn't get help from them right away. He's seen as an enemy, and he's taken in by force and beaten up. You know, they think he's responsible for the slaughter of the nearby village, and they hold him prisoner. But it turns out he's got some history with this creature. He's making the whole thing personal. Yeah, and this creature is called a Morwyn. It's powerful as fuck. It's cool. It's big, and it's also stealthy. It's got some weird, unique powers, but he's going to need the help of the Vikings. So, this movie was a good surprise to me, man. It was such a good surprise for me. I thought it was going to be garbage because I thought it was going to be another low-budget trash film in Amazon Prime's infinite list of trash movies. But no, I really liked it. But I liked it. I want to say I loved it, but for the wrong reasons. So before I get into spoilers, I will not be going into it scene for scene from the start to finish. Just my thoughts on it. I do recommend this for anyone who is into sci-fi or fantasy. Hell, even horror. Because it did have some horror elements. So, it's a fun, violent movie. It can be gory at times. And it's got some nice special effects. Not overwhelming, but not lacking either. And though in the beginning of the film, you will see some really shitty special effects, but then you'll see how most of the special effects talent and the budget went into the Morwen, aka the creature. And I believe, hey, for 2008, they did a good job. And I really love the creature design as well. Like, oh, that's so cool. I wish I could have, like, a little statue or action figure of it. It's just a really badass design for the creature. I love it. So remember I said how I love this movie for the wrong reasons? So why did I love this movie? And, well, I love this movie because it felt like other movies. I, like, rolled into one. And one of the biggest standouts, you know, like, one of the movies that really, that it really reminded me of is The 13th Warrior from 1999 with Antonio Banderas. So, which I also recommend to anyone who is into fantasy, horror, historical bullshit. And just to be warned, this will also include spoilers to The 13th Warrior and Brotherhood of the Wolf. And possibly, oh man, I know there's another movie that it reminded me of. And I don't want to say something that's going to spoil it for someone who's never seen it. Oh, The Ghost and the Darkness with Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas. So, I'm going to have spoilers for those movies. If you've never seen them, I highly recommend you check those out. Those are The Ghost and the Darkness, The Brotherhood of the Wolf, and The 13th Warrior. So, yeah. But hey, if you don't care about spoilers, fuck it. Let's continue, man. So, in the beginning, after the crash landing, we see Kynan, Jim Caviezel. He goes into the water to pull out this thing that's floating in the water. It's like some tech of his from his people. It's just floating around in the water and it's making a little beeping sound, almost like a beacon. And he gets it out of the water and it's got supplies. You know, like, it's got like a gun. It's got this machine that shoots out like a fucking hologram. And that hologram scans the planet. Because he talks to it, and it gives him the info on the planet, which is our planet, Earth. And at the time, he's speaking his native alien language. And a hologram machine, it tells him that the language in this area, which is Earth, in the part he's in, that the language used is Norse. So the device has this, you know, from the bottom of the little deck, this little device comes out. It just pops up. It forms into this scope. This is where the special effects look really shitty. Like, super bad. And I was like, oh boy, the whole movie's going to be like this. But no, it was just for this one scene. So it forms a scope. Kynan puts his eye to it. And that thing just uploads everything about our planet, the species, into his brain through the eye. And it looks painful. But yeah, he also learns the Norse language. So remember, it's Norse, but when they speak, it's English, and that's where my next point is leading to. So, in The 13th Warrior, you know, in case you've never seen it, Antonio Banderas he's like a poet, and he's like dicking around with some fucking noble's wife. He gets busted. So, as for punishment, they exile him and send him to the North as an ambassador, and he's with some Vikings, and they're traveling back to Norway, so he's going with them. And during their travels, especially when they're out camping at night, talking around a fire, he can't understand them. They're speaking Norse, but he's observing them and their actions and their reactions, and he slowly learns their language just by watching them. So this sort of, you know, it's not exactly like it, but, you know, it sort of reminds me of The 13th Warrior, you know, on Outlander. So that's one of the things that got me interested. I wouldn't say interested, but it hooked me in even more. Another one is, this is part where Kynan, he's knocked out because he's walking around this village. The first village he walks into from, you know, crash landing, the whole place is on fire. Everybody's dead. And one of the other characters comes out on a horse and knocks him out. And the next thing we see, he's tied up on this fucking wooden thingy where his hands are tied. Yeah, I wouldn't say chained, but yeah, tied up, and he's being dragged. This sort of reminded me also of Army of Darkness, where, you know, guy falls out of the sky and then gets fucking taken prisoner. Totally. It was like, okay, cool, you know, a little bit of Army of Darkness. I mean, I'm sure that's not what they were going for, but yeah. But following that, Kainan, he's being interrogated, and they ask him what he was doing in the village. And he says he was hunting. When he asks what he was hunting, he looks over to this ornament or a medallion, and it's got like a dragon on it. And he says, I was hunting that. They're like, you were hunting a dragon? And they start laughing at him. So I guess they don't believe in dragons. But eventually, the Morwen attacks the village. And the people believe it's a bear. So they go hunting. They find a bear cave. They take Kainan with them. Because, well, he's telling them, oh, it's this creature and only I know how to kill it and blah, blah, blah. So they take him. He gets a killing blow. It's a bear. They decapitate it. They throw a party. They freak, you know, they're just happy. But Kainan knows that's not the killer. This is where Kainan tells, well, after the party, after the celebration, there's an attack. The Morwen kills a bunch of people, whatever. And, no. The village that the Morwen slaughtered invades that village because they thought it was them that slaughtered them. The big old fight happens and the neighboring village get their asses kicked. They retreat while they're out there in the middle of the woods or the forest, whatever, planning their next move. They get attacked by the Morwen. So they start running back to the village. They're like, hey, we surrender. Just let us in. And they let them in. And that's where in the distance they see a bunch of lights. And then they finally see the Morwen. And they're like, oh, it wasn't a bear. This thing's the fucking killer. So this here, even to the part where they killed the bear, I was thinking to myself, oh shit, now it's Brotherhood of the Wolf. So in case you've never seen Brotherhood of the Wolf, there's a bunch of people in France being killed off by a creature. And many believe, they believe it's a wolf. Though wolves aren't that fucking huge, but whatever. But they go hunting and they kill a bunch of poor wolves. Dude, they slaughter so many wolves and I was so pissed. But only to be attacked again by this monster, right? So in Brotherhood of the Wolf, they have you somewhat maybe think that it can possibly be a werewolf. Is this like a supernatural film now? And, well, later you actually come to find out it's not a wolf, it's not a werewolf, it's actually a tiger. It's a tiger wearing armor. And it was brought in by someone who brings in exotic animals. And it was being let loose, and, you know, it was being let loose to run around and kill a bunch of people. So, that's another reason I got hooked. Because, it again, it's not exactly like Brotherhood of the Wolf, but it's somewhat like it. Where you know the viewer, you already know what it is, but the people's reaction, like they think it's a bear, just like they thought it was a wolf. And, you know, also like on the 13th Warrior, where you think it's some supernatural thing. You're like, oh man, these things are fucking demons. Like, I swear I killed one. Where's the body? It's fucking gone. Like, you kill them, they disappear. They're giant. I don't know. I wouldn't say giant, but they're men that look like beasts that come out in the dark and they come through a fire serpent. So there's all this stuff that's like magical or supernatural, right? Where you're thinking this is some scary shit. But then you find out, oh, it's, they actually move with the fog and all of them lined up with torches with the fog and makes it look like a fiery serpent. When it's really just a bunch of barbaric cavemen, literally cavemen, with torches forming this fire serpent. And they wear the hides of dead animals, so people think they're like some fucking man-monster hybrid. And whenever they get killed, they take those bodies away with them to eat them. So, yeah, like, the 13th Warrior somewhat has you thinking, oh, this is some scary, spooky, supernatural shit, but you find out, oh, it's all fucking smoke and mirrors. That's cool. And they didn't give that off on Outlander, but it somewhat had that with just the way the villagers were reacting with, haha, you're fucking dumb. You think it's a dragon. There's no such thing as dragons. And they see this thing. They're like, oh, fuck this. It's a fucking demon. They actually have a priest and it's like, that's the devil. And that's fucking crazy. But yeah. But, you know, another thing, too, was that, so we get to the end of the second act of Outlander. And we find out that there's not just one, but two Morwens, a small one and a big one. So what did this remind me of now? The Ghost and the Darkness from 1996. Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas. So the whole time in The Ghost and the Darkness, you believe there was only one lion killing everyone. It was like Jaws, but in Africa. You rarely saw the beast that killed in stealth. It killed at night. And the whole time it's one lion. No, that's what you think. So you see this one lion chomping down on a victim. And right when they're going to shoot it, a fucking second lion comes out. It's like on top of this little train station booth. And that's where Val Kilmer goes, Jesus, there are two of them. Now, that was my actual reaction as well, watching that movie. 16 years old at the theater. I fucking love The Ghost of the Darkness. It's such a good movie. But yeah, the 13th Warrior vibes come back. When Kynan and the Vikings, they go take the fight to the creatures, to the Morwen in their cave, and they sneak around just like the Vikings did on the 13th Warrior, running around all stealthy, you know, in the cave system. So, if you really want to go for a stretch, or if I want to go for a stretch, shit, you know, fuck it, Predator, since there's green glowing blood, but, I mean, man, that's just a stretch. I was just like, hello, green glowing blood, just like Predator, but that's it. But overall, I liked the movie. I really did. It was fun. It had action. It had horror. It had Vikings. And overall, it was kick-ass. And I also really love the Morwen, which according to the Wikipedia, it says it's a play on the word Morlock from the Time Machine. And the Morwen looked super cool, man. They were just super rad looking. They had these light patterns on their skin. And it was this really cool light pattern. And it would come on and off. So that was cool. Like, you know, the whole skin thing was epic. It reminded me of some type of, like, maybe Borderlands creature. Or even some of the bosses / little creatures on Guild Wars 2 in the dungeons. The death scenes were cool. The priest death was probably the coolest. With him blowing up and turning into jam and just plopping all over the floor. That was fucking epic. And the weakest death in the movie was Ron Perlman. Yeah, Ron Perlman's in the movie. He's just having his head get cut off when the Morwen just runs by him and just cuts his head off with a tail. I mean, that sucks because Ron Perlman, like, dude, I loved Ron Perlman in this movie for the little time he was in. He was running around in fucking berserker mode, just killing motherfuckers left and right with his hammer. Just smashing heads in. It was badass. And you know what? That's where I gotta say, I also feel that Ron Perlman was underused. He deserved more screen time. And I totally would have liked to have seen him fight the Morwen, like 1v1. He's made out to be this giant hulking berserker tank, only to get off by the fucking Morwen when it runs past him, cutting his head off with its tail. I thought that was a cheap death. Ron Perlman should have been in there for longer, but that's it. But one thing I feel they did really good with the movie was the twist. And the twist is how Kynan is responsible for committing genocide on the Morwen species, because Kynan's people wanted a planet, but this planet happened to be occupied by the Morwens. So they nuked the fucking planet and they hunted down the remaining ones. So Jim Caviezel is a good actor. So you could really feel the guilt in Kynan, you know, for doing this, for committing this act of genocide. And I really felt sad. Like, I really did. I really felt sad at the end where he cut off the Morwen's arm. And when he cut off the Morwen's arm to send it down to its death, because he still felt the guilt. And he was killing the last one. He was killing the last one of its kind. And I thought it was really sad. Like, it really made me sad. And, you know, the Morrowinds might have been violent, but they were living happily on their planet, only to be wiped out. And Kynan's guilt can be felt. And even though the Morrowind is supposed, you know, it's supposed to be a monster, it's really just a living, breathing creature that is pissed for what the space people did to its species. It was really getting me, where he's looking at the Kynan's eyes, and the Kynan's looking back, holding on, because it doesn't want to die. And he has no choice but to cut its arm off. And I was so pissed, man, because I just feel bad for the fucking Morrowind. Oh, man, I feel so bad. Poor guys, dude. They didn't deserve this. But, yeah, I was hoping for an ending where maybe he was able to fucking somewhat cage the Morrowind. Then with his beacon still going, the ship gets there and they just load it up, take it and drop it off on some other planet, and the Morrowind makes a new home and is happy. But, killing it off, it really made me sad. Oh, it's such a fucking bummer, man, for real. Oh, I hate thinking about that ending. It was so depressing. Oh, man, the whole fucking movie. But overall, I really liked it. Would I buy it on Steelbook? Yeah, sure. But mainly because of the Morrowind. Like, overall, it was one of the coolest monsters I've seen in movies, you know, like sci-fi. Again, I wish it had some type of following, maybe like a cult following, because maybe we could get maybe like Steelbooks, or Todd McFarlane could maybe make like a little Morrowind action figure or a little statue. It was cool. I really wish I had something like a Morrowind replica, or not a replica, but like an action figure, a toy, something like that. Because it was a really cool design. Really cool monster. I loved it. So, but yeah. Sad movie in the end. I guess it depends what kind of... I guess it depends how you see it, right? Because, yeah, to me it might have been sad, but who knows? You're probably one of those dudes who's like, yeah, fucking kill the thing. Who cares if it's the last of its kind? Yeah, whatever. But yeah, good movie. I thought it was cool. I was expecting Walmart trashy movie, but no, I got something good. And I'll most definitely see it again. I'll show it to my bestie just to see what happens. Just to see if she actually feels for the poor monster. Or if she's like, yeah, fuck yeah, kill it. Because she's very sensitive when it comes to shit like that. So we'll see. But But you know what? That's it for today. And I'm going to go ahead and watch some more bullshit. And I'll see what I'll talk about. You know what? Also, I might want to make something talking about the whole bullshit going on with game developers. Because gaming has become a problem, and many will blame the developers, which it is their fucking fault. But there is another part to that problem, and that's fanboys who defend these developers. And I want to make an episode talking about that, and I'm gonna have to see if John wants to do it, because he's a big gamer. He's a big gamer too. We both are. And for now, all I gotta say is stop pre-ordering games, man. Stop pre-ordering games. Stop buying season passes. Fuck it. Stop logging on. Play something else. Do what everybody's doing. Play Baldur's Gate 3. It's from what everyone can see, it's a shining example of what developers should be delivering. Because right now, especially Blizzard and Bungie, they don't give a fuck about the players. They don't give a fuck about you. They only care about the money and how can they keep you online longer. Keeping you online longer means happy investors. So if you're a gamer and you're playing fucking Diablo 4, Destiny 2, fuck it, don't do it. Go play something else. Play something cool. Play Path of Exile. And, you know, I know I said some shit before that Path of Exile is not really for the fucking, for the casuals. But hey, Blizzard's got to learn a fucking lesson. But that's the thing. It ain't going to happen, right? Because gamers are fucking stupid. They'll bitch about how a game was delivered broken, but they'll still play it. They'll bitch about how $25 for a fucking skin, they'll still buy it. All they do is complain and complain and complain, but they don't do shit to back it up. And that's why publishers like Activision, they get away with the shit they've been doing, man. EA and DICE are just releasing shit quality games because they can. And this shit's got to stop. But anyways, yeah, that's it for tonight, man. Peace.